And we want to welcome the people who are in the studio with us today. We're glad that we can have some of the same people come back. Lois, thanks for coming back today.
Thank you, Doris. It's great to be here, and it's great to have all five of us in the studio today. This is a nice chit-chat.
Right, and, you know, this is the second day now for Zach and Pauline. Did you enjoy the program yesterday?
Yes, very much, Doris.
It's kind of fun to talk about places. And, Pauline, after talking about these places, did you feel that you really want to take a trip to Europe soon?
Yes, I would love to travel out of Asia and into Europe someday.
Mm-hmm. It's really nice to go there. And I would suggest if any of you go to Europe, you get the Eurail Pass. You just pay for the train, and you can get off and on the train. You can go for 1 week or 2 weeks, and you can go to many places. You can go to Germany and Paris and Norway. Wow, that's the way to travel.
That's
and
great.
See Europe. So you do that sometime, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do it now. It's September. It's too late. You have to do it in the summer. You guys, we're working now, right?
Right.
And you're back at school, so we can't do that. But, Josh, you've been to a lot of places. Have you ever used a EuroPass or not?
Well, Doris, as you might know, I lived in Germany for a couple of years, but they were not back-to-back years. Mm-hmm. And the first year that I was there, I definitely took advantage of the EuroPass.
That was fun, wasn't it?
It was a lot of fun. I traveled all over. I got to saw a lot of amazing things in Europe. But reading this article reminds me that there were still a lot of places that I didn't get a chance to go to. And so this is also very interesting for me to see.
Mm. And, you know, after you read the articles, don't forget, if you can see it on page 28, we have the topic talks. And what can you do to see the topic talks up there? Did you see it on the top?
Yes, it's our QR code.
See the QR code?
Yes, on page 28.
And you can put your phone on that, and you can watch the skits. That's fun. Some people don't realize what that's there for. So don't forget to use a QR code. And how else can you look at our programs? M?
Well, we do have the mobile website, m.studioclassroom.com.
And many people listen in to that. You can listen to Advanced every day, wherever you are on your cell phone, m.studioclassroom.com. Now, you can also listen to Studio Classroom and Let's Talk. But now you're beyond that. Let's listen to Advanced, right?
Exactly. We have such interesting programs, and we miss our students if they don't listen to us.
And we have a lot of people listening in, so welcome to today's program as we have part two of this article on pages 28, 29, and 30. Today we're going to start on page 29. But we did study some interesting places yesterday. And how did they define these places? They're charming and...
charming villages. So charming or sweet, nice, interesting places that are outside of the big cities.
That's true. And some of them do sound rather charming. And there's many charming places in every country of the world. But we try to touch on them to give you a taste for them. Isn't that right?
Right, that's right. And, you know, sometimes when we visited Europe, we've had friends live in Europe, so they don't live in the big cities.
That's true.
Or friends that lived in Scotland. They've lived in smaller towns, smaller cities, villages, and we've wanted to go see them and spend time with them. So we've had this charming experience and have had these great guides taking us around because there are friends who live there.
Well, and you know, people like Pauline, who's still a student now. She's in college, right?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can get a student Euro pass, just a couple $100.
Oh, wow.
And you can get off and see Rome and Paris and then get all these places, get off in the villages.
Yeah.
So don't forget to do that some summer, okay?
Yes, I would do that.
That'd be fun. Okay. And I think you would probably like to go there sometimes, wouldn't you, Zach, and visit these places?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so let's find out more about them. Are you all ready to start today's lesson?
Oh, yes.
Okay, where are we going to start today, Josh?
Well, today we're going to start in Germany, which is one of my favorite countries of Europe.
On page 29?
Exactly.
The very bottom here. Let's read about Germany, Baden-Baden.
Baden-Baden, in Württemberg, Germany. Germany's best-known spa town, Baden-Baden, in the Black Forest of Baden-Württemberg, has been a popular spot for soaking in mineral-rich thermal waters off and on since the Roman era. And while spa treatments and hot springs are still among the most popular draws for tourists, there are also plenty of museums, gardens, performing arts venues, and charming old buildings and churches. The town made it through World War II unscathed. Oyster Hotel pick, Hotel Belle Epoque.
Well, George, you've been to Germany, and I think there's a lot of good places to go there, don't you?
Oh, there are so many fantastic places in Germany. Germany is a big country, and it has a lot of different areas with different cultures, so there are plenty of places to choose from.
That's true. In fact, you know, eastern and northern part of Germany is quite different than the southern part. The southern part of Germany, and a long time ago, there were different tribes that lived there. And the people in the south are more like in Munich, where they have festivals. They have the beer festival and all kinds of festivals, music festivals. And, of course, they have these castles that, like Disneyland has a castle that came from the idea of Germany. And
it does. The castle that you see a lot with the Disney logo is actually Neuschwanstein, which is a German castle in Bavaria.
Say that for us one more time.
Neuschwanstein.
Okay.
Right. In the southern part, right there. There's so many good places. Lindau, many islands. Mm-hmm. But we're going to go to this place. This is kind of, Baden-Baden is actually in the Black Forest. And that's kind of more in the central part of Germany more.
It is.
Mm-hmm. So Baden-Baden, I think, has to do with baths, or taking baths and things like that. So tell us more about Baden-Baden.
So a bad is, like you say, it's a bath mm-hmm. or a spa, and Baden-Baden is very famous, like it says here, for being a spot to soak in mineral-rich thermal waters.
Hmm. So there's a lot of places in the world where people like to go to hot springs and things. That's kind of relaxing. This is an interesting place. The Black Forest itself is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, thermal is connected with heat. So you're in nice, warm to hot water doing this. So it does sound wonderful.
Okay. It says thermal water. So rich, mineral-rich thermal waters. That sounds kind of like it's supposed to be healthy.
It is supposed to be healthy, and I know that a lot of the spas in Baden-Baden really do say that having time to soak in their hot springs there is very good for your health.
Well, this is September, and the weather's getting, you know, cooler. That might be a good time to go. Well, that's when people like to go there.
Right. You know, it's nice. Sometimes people don't have the time, but it all depends on what your school year's like and what part of the world you come from. It is lovely to visit Europe in the spring or in the fall, because the summer has so many people.
Too many tourists.
Oh,
right.
It's so busy. And some parts of Europe in the month of August kind of close down, because that's the vacation for those people that time of year.
That's true.
But if you go in the summer, the people from Norway in the north, they always go down there.
Yes.
And you're going to find all kinds of tourists. So
it's
you better go
busy.
In the spring or the fall. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. But it says here that these spa treatments, their most popular draws for tourists. This word to draw here means to attract. This attracts tourists. That's in line 15. But what other kind of things would draw you there or attract you there?
Well, they say besides the hot waters and the spas that there are still plenty of other things like museums, gardens, and performing arts venues.
What's the venue?
Now, a venue, it means
that's a French
area,
word, isn't it?
I believe so. It's mm-hmm. an area or a building where you present a play or a performance of some sort.
Okay.
So some people might say performing arts theater, mm-hmm. Here it's a venue is covering many different buildings. Some might be large, and some might be very small.
Well, what do you think here, Zach, about the rest of that sentence? It says that these charming old buildings and churches, because this town mm-hmm. made it through World War II unscathed. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, so here where it says unscathed, that these buildings had just survived, had not taken on any harm.
But they were destroyed by the war, right?
Right.
You know, many villages were destroyed, some beautiful villages in all parts of the world. War is so destructive, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing that none of these buildings were damaged. That was quite shocking to me when I read the article.
Well, actually, you know, it's up in the forest. It's not down in the town area, mm. you know. So it wasn't really on the main roads that people would travel. So that's why they got away with it. But this looks like a very old-fashioned building. It could almost be in any country, in America or Europe or anything, isn't it?
Actually, when I saw it, I said, this looks...
Canada.
Well, you know what? It looked like a place called Ocean Grove, New Jersey, where my father used to take us when we were growing up, and their buildings looked very similar to this.
Now, one thing about those buildings, they didn't have elevators in those days. You've got to walk up all the floors.
Exactly, and these ones in Ocean Grove, New Jersey had no elevators either and no air conditioning.
Yeah,
that's one thing I want to mention to our readers. Mm. If you stay in the smaller hotels that are European-owned, oftentimes they won't have air conditioning, even in the heat of summer.
But you can live through it.
Because there's such old buildings that you just can't do it.
That's true. But this is a very interesting place for people to go that want to do the hot spring thing. Have you ever been to any hot springs?
I really enjoy going to the hot springs and relaxing. It's always just a very pleasurable and relaxing time.
What about you, Pauline? Have you ever been to any hot springs?
Yes, I have. The only hot springs place I've been to is in Elan. Mm. So this sounds like a very inviting place for me to go in the future.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a kind of a fun place to go. It would be nice, wouldn't it?
I've done hot springs here in Taiwan, and I've also done them in Canada, in British Columbia, and I enjoy them. I thought I wouldn't, but it's been quite enjoyable. But if the day's too hot, I don't like it.
Right. They have hot springs down in New Zealand, a lot of different places too, yeah. But people like those. But there's a lot of other things you might want to see. Just being up there in Baden-Baden is quite an interesting city. So that's one place that you might want to go. But I think it's time for us to go on to the next place. What's the next town?
Well, I'm excited because this is one of the places in Europe I've not been. We're going to head for Tuscany, Italy.
Montepulciano in Tuscany, Italy. Spread over a hilltop nearly 2,000 meters above sea level, the Tuscan village of Montepulciano offers gorgeous medieval and Renaissance architecture, as well as ample opportunities to visit wineries and sample the locally produced Vino Nobile di Montepulciano. Surrounded by fortifications dating back to the 14th century, the village features a handful of churches and public squares, and its cathedral has an enormous triptych of the Virgin Mary's Assumption, which is attributed to early Renaissance Sienese school painter Taddeo Bartoli. Oyster Hotel pick, Etruria Resort and Natural Spa.
Well, we could talk for a long time on some of these countries like Germany, but let's go to Italy. That also has many, many interesting places.
It does. Part of the reason why I did not go to Italy is that I knew that I would need a lot of time in order to be able to truly enjoy the country, and I was running short on time. I'd spent so much time in other places.
But maybe you can still go there someday.
I certainly hope so.
Italy is a very interesting country. It's different and quite different from the culture of Germany and the northern countries.
Oh, and the Germans would agree with you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And the thing about Italy, people in Rome always tell you, get out in the country, get out. When I was there, the people in Rome kept saying that, to get out in the country. And I think it was because when my husband and I were in Rome about a year ago, it was 45 degrees Celsius.
Oh, my goodness.
So believe me, we wanted to get out in the country.
Well, there's a lot of interesting things to see in a lot of places, but this place is cooler because it's 2,000 meters above sea level, right? Tell us more about it.
So that is a little bit cooler. It would be nice in the hot summer months.
Mm-hmm.
It says here that it's spread over a hilltop, and what that means is that it's taking up a large area or it's kind of spread out a little bit.
So if you went to this village in Tuscany, this village, and how do you say the name again?
Well, I pronounce it, Josh is probably better than me, Montepulciano, Am I right?
So it's Montepulciano.
It's very close. Yes. I would say Montepulciano.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Montepulciano.
What do they offer there then?
Well, they have gorgeous medieval and Renaissance architecture, as well as ample opportunities to visit wineries and sample the locally produced Vino Nobile di Montepulciano.
I hope you don't have to ask for it by name. Just say, give me your local wine.
Give me your local wine.
But, you know, actually, this is one thing that they do have beautiful grape vineyards there.
That's
one of the things that in the country. It's very, very beautiful village areas. And a lot of people like to go there for vacations. But don't you think that this kind of thing, people that study history would like that? What about the Renaissance? Anything about that?
So the Renaissance is a very interesting time in history, especially in Italy. We're talking about the 15th and 16th centuries of European history, in which there was a lot intellectual and artistic development.
So you could see that, and it says it's surrounded by fortifications. What is a fortification, actually?
Fortifications are strong walls, towers, and other things that are built to protect a place.
Okay. There's a lot of fortifications. They had to use a lot of those things in the past. Walls, castles were surrounded by moats and different things. So what about fortifications?
Yes, fortifications, just being structures to kind of keep safe important places around the city.
And, of course, these were built when? 14th century?
14th century, so quite a long time ago.
Well, because we all know who have studied history, everybody had an enemy back then.
Yes.
So you had these walls and these moats and everything put up because you had to protect yourself. You had to protect the citizens of your village or town or wherever you might live.
Right. And so all these villages have these kind of surrounding things with their walls or different ways to keep the enemies out. And they also have, this is a handful of churches, means several anyway, and public squares. I think public squares are very interesting places. They have them in all of these countries, don't they?
Yeah, one of the most famous ones, I think, is in Brussels, and it's called Grand Place. Mm-hmm. And almost anyone who ever goes to Belgium wants to see the Grand Place in Brussels.
Well, and they have them in Denmark where it's walking streets and the people go out there, and almost every country has these.
My own city that I've come from, Toronto, has developed one, and they call it Dundas Square.
Hmm.
And it's just open and big, and it's right downtown. People gather there.
And Boston and a lot of those eastern places have them. Do you have any public squares down in the south there? Not too many.
Not too many, no.
It's kind of something that the older cities had, don't you think? Philadelphia, maybe.
That's right. When I think of public squares, I think more of cities. Yeah,
right.
Philadelphia.
I think so. But these are interesting places because they have a great big cathedral in a lot of the countries there, whether it's in Vienna, they have those. And every single country in Europe has a lot of these big old cathedrals, don't they?
It's very true. There was many large cathedrals built in the area throughout history, and there are all, in my opinion, beautiful places to go see just from the architecture, and a lot of times they'll have very pretty stained glass.
Germany and France have a lot, too.
So does Austria.
But you know, when I see those, I think, how could they build those in those days? They didn't have the equipment and things that we have. How could they build those great big, huge structures? Didn't you ever wonder about that?
Absolutely.
How they could do that way back at that period of time with what they had to work with. What else do they have there?
Well, here they're talking about an enormous triptych of the Virgin Mary's Assumption. So a triptych is an art. It's usually a painting that consists of three panels that are hinged together.
That's where the tree comes from, three.
Exactly.
G-R-I, right? Yeah, tree.
And here we're talking about a painting of a religious event, the Mary's Assumption. So we know that Mary was the mother of Jesus. And in the Roman Catholic, and I believe also Orthodox tradition, the Assumption means at the moment of her death, she and her body were taken up into heaven.
So that's a big thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It's Roman Catholic theology.
So this was attributed to or counted to the early Renaissance. What is this one? Sienese school.
Yeah, the CNE School. So this is a school of painting that sort of describes the style and the realism that the painting takes.
Have you ever heard of this guy before?
Taddeo Bartoli? I have not heard of him before.
I haven't either.
No, because we usually hear about Leonardo da Vinci.
Right.
Or we hear about, help me, Sistine Chapel. Who did that? Michelangelo.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we hear about those two famous Italians.
Right. No. I've heard of this one.
Yeah, so I had not heard of this one, but I had heard of the first name for an Italian male. That's the only thing I'd heard of that name is for an Italian male.
Wow. So they tell you where you can stay if you want to go there. And they have a spa there, too, don't they?
Yes. This is Etruria Resort and Natural Spa. It sounds lovely. And we have a picture of the area below. And it really does look gorgeous.
So if you can't say all these names, take a guidebook with you and just point to that and say, I want to go there.
Exactly.
Because these are pretty big names.
Right? Yeah. I have to do that in Asia a lot
right.
of times, too.
That's
I have
true.
To
right.
point to the word and say, how do you say this?
Or where is this? Or something like
yeah.
that, you know. Because even if you say it, they might not understand it the way we'd say it. Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's kind of interesting because remember what we said at the beginning of this lesson, that we want to have cultural experiences and we want to go to these different places, don't we, that are not the regular ones. We still have another country and another place we haven't talked about. What's the next place that we're going to talk about?
Well, it looks like the next place will be Greece, which I'm also excited about because I did not have a chance to visit Greece yet.
I've been to Greece, but I didn't go to this place. Let's read about it.
Ia, in Santorini, Greece. Ia is arguably the most charming village on the beautiful Greek island of Santorini. This oft-photographed cliffside town is best known as a sunset viewing spot, but it's fantastic any time of day thanks to its abundance of quintessential whitewashed structures topped with blue domes, plus its fabulous views out onto the Aegean Sea. There's not much to do here beyond eating, drinking, and gawking at local scenery, but it has some of the island's best boutique hotels, many of which are tucked right into the cliffside. Oyster Hotel Pick, Art Maison's Luxury Santorini Hotels, Aspaki and Ia Castle.
Well, this sounds more like a foreign language lesson to me, all these different names and that, right? It's supposed to be English, but, you know, we don't always pronounce them the same way as the people there.
No, and we're trying to encourage our people to travel because when you do have English, it will make your travels easier because so many of the hotels especially and the tours offer English tours.
That's true. Well, this is another island. We talked about islands, and remember that, Lois? This is a charming village on a beautiful Greek island. So these little islands off the coast of some of these places are really nice, too, aren't they?
Right. And Ia in Santorini, Greece, is a place that so many people desire to go and see because it's been photographed a lot. And if you see the photographs, it draws you in and you think, wow, I would like to go there. And for a lot of people who've been to Greece, they say, you know, a day in Athens is enough. Go out and see the islands.
Mm-hmm.
And I know my daughter was able to see 9 or 10 of the islands when she was there.
Wow.
And thoroughly enjoyed it.
Well, that's good. I think that's true that they're probably been. What is this place known for here? What does it say over here in line 18? This the cliffside town. What is it best known for?
It says sunset viewing spot, yeah. And it's fantastic any time of the day.
So don't you think people that like to take pictures there, Zach, they would like to go there and take the sunset?
Sure, absolutely. I can imagine them really appreciating taking those photographs. And then in the background, even having what is so unique to Greece, the whitewashed structures topped with the blue domes.
Right. Well, we have a very big word there, which is marked as our key word. What is that word?
So the key word is quintessential.
That's kind of a big word, and we read it a lot. I don't think we use it too much in our conversation, though, do we?
In conversational language, I'd say you're right. It doesn't come up too terribly often.
What does it mean?
It does mean so something that is the most typical example, right?
Okay.
So like here, it means in the article that these whitewashed structures are a typical example of what people think of when they think of the scenery in Greece.
Right, because they have these white kind of buildings with blue tops, blue domes. You see pictures of Greece. You've seen that, haven't you?
Sure, pictures and in movies, things
right.
like that.
Right, you just get the feeling that that's, oh, that's Greece. Kind of recognize it's sort of a mark, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's the whitewashed, and what we would think of in a lot of parts of the Western world, the Western Hemisphere, we would think about whitewashing a barn because they do that. The interior of a barn and the outside of a barn, where
clean.
The stonework is, they whitewash it.
But anyway, they got fabulous views out under this area, which is called the Aegean Sea. But there's not very much to do there. What can you do there? What does it say over there? Pauline, what can you do?
There's not much to do beyond eating, drinking, gawking at the local scenery.
So you can always eat wherever you go. Remember, eat local food.
Well, and I love Greek food. I don't know if anybody else here does, but I love Greek food.
Okay, and gawking means just kind of staring at things. Wow, look at this, look at that. So that's something you could do, walk around, probably take pictures and things like that. But some of their nice little tiny boutique small hotels, they're tucked right inside the cliffside. That would be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
That would be super fun. To be in a hotel that's right on the cliffside or even in the cliffside would be beautiful.
As long as you don't have to worry about earthquakes or things.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that gives you a little idea of different places, different things that they have to do. And it's been good to be with you these 2 days. We have other interesting lessons coming ahead. But don't forget to plan some trips sometime. Whenever you go to the places outside the big cities, right?
Right. Get Absolutely. Some culture.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. See a little bit of what every country has to offer.
Good, and be sure and be with Advance every day to keep up your vocabulary about many different things. We'll see you for another subject tomorrow. Thanks for being with us today, everyone. Goodbye.
Goodbye.